إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there's no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there's no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. We'd like to continue this afternoon, insha'Allah, with the topic of sickness. And what is the view of the believer, the true believer? What should be the Muslim's perspective of sickness? Whether one has been afflicted with some kind of illness, sickness, disease or otherwise, or anyone who is close to you, of near relatives, friends or otherwise. What is the true view or perspective of the Muslim towards sickness in particular, in any type of calamity or affliction that one may be tested with in this world? Last week, in the first talk concerning this topic, we talked about particularly two main points related to the view of a Muslim towards sickness. And we said that the first thing that a Muslim should look at and consider, if they have been afflicted with any kind of disease or sickness or misfortune, is they should realize that the enjoyment that one misses in this world is only a passing pleasure. Or as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, it is enjoyment of deception. Yani it doesn't have a permanent reality, but it is something that is just passing away. And we mentioned a number of verses from the Quran related to this particular point. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُونَ وَلَعِبٌ, that this world is no more than amusement and play. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, that this world is no more than pleasures of deception. And if a Muslim, a believer, knows this reality, and there should be no doubt in the mind of the believer who knows that these are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a true reality about which we shouldn't have any doubt whatsoever, that this world and the pleasures of it are only pleasures of deception. A Muslim should not be deceived by it. But a Muslim should know that these things are relative. And they are only pleasures, if they are lawful, that we may partake in this world without going beyond the bounds. And if they are unlawful, we should abstain from them. Also, the second point that we mentioned is the fact that calamities or affliction or tests or trials in this life, for the believer, it is an indication or a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person. Yani when Allah loves someone, He tests and tries them. And this is mentioned, as we said last week, in a number of hadith, and from amongst them is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ عِذَمْ الْجَزَاءَ مَا عِذَمْ الْبَلَاءَ, that the greatness of reward comes with the greatness or the difficulty or severity of the trials or the tests. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ, and when Allah loves a people, then He tests and He tries them. And those who are most severely tested, as mentioned in the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءَ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلُ فَالْأَمْثَلُ, that the most severely punished of people are the prophets, and then those who are nearest to them, and those who are nearest to them in line. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So, the Muslim, keeping this in mind, knowing that the tests and trials of this life are really for the believer, for the one who believes in Allah and who is patient at the time of test. It is indeed a sign that Allah loves you. And also, as we will mention today, the tests and trials in this life are a sign of something else. The tests and trials in this world, they are in fact the road or the way or the path to Al-Jannah. Tests and trials are the way to the paradise. Particularly, we are talking about sickness, and whatever type of illness a person suffers from, whatever disease they may have been afflicted with, we should know that these things are from amongst the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests His servants with. Testing our patience and testing our iman. A believer, one of the great characteristics of a believer is sabr. It was the great characteristic of the anbiya and the mursaleen, the prophets and messengers. And a believer is expected to follow the example of the prophets and messengers and to be patient with the trials and tests in this world. The one who is afflicted or tested and is patient, then know for sure it is the only way. It is the road to paradise. So whoever has been given success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to reflect and to contemplate and understand this point, that tests and trials, it is the road to paradise, then indeed they would know that these tests and trials are a great blessing and a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perhaps many of the Muslims, and for sure the disbelievers, might have difficulty in believing that tests and trials, hardships, calamities and sickness are a favor and a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How could it be so? But actually, if we would reflect and consider the realities of life as given to us by the one who is all-knowing, that is the creator of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what He has informed us of in the Quran, and what He has informed us of through the teachings or the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we would know that indeed this is a reality. That our sickness or whatever we have been tested with, it is indeed a favor from Allah. And it necessitates that we should be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not complaining about our sickness, but actually thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just think about this. This is the perspective of the believer. The believer is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are sick, because they understand. They know the reality that these trials and these difficulties are in fact Allah's favor upon them and His way to help them into the paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we would definitely test you and try you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ, we would definitely test you. بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ, something of fear, any fear from the enemies who fight against the Muslims or try to kill them. وَالْجُوعِ, and hunger or starvation due to drought or poverty that a person may be subjected to. وَكَذَلِكْ نَقْسِمْ, يعني some decrease or loss. مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ, from our wealth or properties, ourselves, يعني physically, loss of lives, or those who are near to us, our children or relatives or friends, loss of lives and sickness, and as well loss of our fruits, يعني the fruits of our labor, whatever we have worked for, that we would be tested with these things by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a promise from Allah. So whoever reflects on this and understands, then they know the reality that there is good news, bushra, for the one who is tested and is patient. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us, give good news to those who, when they are tested, they are patient with the trials that they are subjected to. They understand it's a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they submit to, willingly and with pleasure, they submit to what Allah has decreed for them. It is understanding that this is the qadr of Allah. It is Allah's divine decree. And it is for wisdom that we have been tested, that allows the believer, and only the believer, to know that this is a favor from Allah, and therefore the believer is able to submit to what Allah has decreed and to be pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said concerning this matter, as we mentioned last week, that it is an amazing thing, the affair of the believer. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. For the believer, إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلُّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ. That his affair, the whole of it, is good for him. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is not so for anyone except the believer. So what we are saying here, this is exclusively the case of the believer. That when they are tested and tried and they are patient, then this should be a sign of the good news, the bushra, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with them, that Allah loves them, and Allah wants them to enter His paradise. These ayats go on after announcing the bushra, or the good news for those who are patient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what He wants from those who He has promised, made this promise to. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. That when a musibah, an affliction or calamity befalls them, these are those who are given the good news, that when some affliction, sickness or illness or otherwise befalls them, loss of lives or property or wealth or whatever, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. That verily we belong to Allah. Verily we belong to Allah. In this world, our lives, our property, our children, whatever we own, we recognize that it all belongs to Allah. So when any affliction befalls us, we admit and we acknowledge that whatever loss has been caused to us, it all belongs to Allah. We and everything that we own and possess belongs to Allah. وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And not only that, but we are going to return to Him. Yani our return is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the person understands that, it is one of the greatest causes that helps a person to be patient. When we know that whatever we have, ourselves and our property and our possessions, that all of it belongs to Allah, and also especially when we know that we are definitely going to return to Him to give account for how we have lived in this world. It helps a person to be patient, knowing that whatever Allah has taken from us, it belongs to Him. And knowing that we are going to return to Him, definitely, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We are going to return to Him on يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. And we will be called to account for how we lived in this world. And if we were afflicted and recognized that it's a test from Allah and we're patient, then when we return to Him, we will be rewarded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say in these verses from Surah Al-Baqarah, أُولَٰئِكَ, yani those who are described in the previous verses, the sabirin, who recognize when an affliction befalls them that they belong to Allah and to Him they will return, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُحْتَدُونَ. Three things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned for these people, those who are patient in the face of affliction. That alayhim salawatum min rabbihim, that they will have salawat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from their Lord. And some of the scholars differ about what is the meaning of salawat here. It doesn't mean salat, like the human being when we make salat. But some of the scholars said it means that that person will be blessed by having the maghfirah, the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of their sins. Wa rahmah, and also the mercy of Allah. The mercy of Allah will be upon them. Wa ulaika humul muhtadun, the hidayah, that they are those who are guided. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives those who are patient forgiveness, mercy, and guidance. What more can someone ask for than to have the salawat of Allah upon them, and the rahmah of Allah, and the huda, the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith that's hasan, reported in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, on the authority of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, قال, Jabir says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, يود أهل العافية يوم القيامة حين يعطى أهل البلاء الثواب لو أن جلودهم كانت فرضت في الدنيا بالمقاريض. That the people who had sound health and were not afflicted with sickness or disease or calamity in this world, أهل العافية, those who were protected and saved from these things, on يوم القيامة, they would love and wish that their skins had been afflicted with some kind of disease that ate away their skins. They would wish that something had happened to them in this world, that they had had some kind of disease on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the reward is being given to those who have been afflicted in the dunya. And on Yawm al-Qiyamah, when the people who suffered these trials and difficulties and sickness and disease, when they are giving their reward by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for their patience, those who are patient in that affliction, then the people who are not afflicted, they would wish that when they were in the world, that they had been afflicted by such diseases. That's how great will be the reward of those who were patient when they were afflicted in this world. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith reported by Imam Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, he said, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من مسلم. يعني, there's no exception. There's no Muslim. Everyone. This is applicable to every Muslim. Again, this is applicable to the believer, the one who has submitted himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ما من مسلم يصيبه أذى من مرض فما سواه إلا حط الله به من سيئاته كما تحط الشجرة ورقها. That there is no Muslim who has been afflicted by some kind of harmful thing, some difficulty or hardship or harm has befallen him, whether sickness specifically or anything else besides that, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause his sins to fall from him as a tree causes its leaves to fall from it. And just as the leaves fall from a tree in the fall or autumn season, as the trees fall from the leaves fall from the tree, so also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cause the sins of the one who has been afflicted with some kind of harm, sickness or otherwise, Allah will cause their sins to fall from them. And this is applicable to every Muslim. And again, this makes us to know that when we suffer from sickness or anything similar to that of harm, then we should keep in mind and we should reflect upon and ponder on the fact that as we are suffering from this sickness, Allah is causing our sins to be removed. This is indeed a reason and a cause for the joy of a believer. If we know that while we are suffering from some sickness that is painful and difficult, but yet we know that as severe as our sickness is, to that extent our sins will be removed from us, then it is indeed a reason for a believer to praise Allah and to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that those sins would be a hardship on us on Yawm al-Qiyamah, but they are being removed by Allah as a mercy for those whom He loves. When Allah loves the people, then He tests them. Also, it is reported in an authentic hadith in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا يَزَالُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْمُؤْمِنِ وَالْمُؤْمِنَ. That hardship or difficulty or calamity will continue to afflict the believer. Al-mu'min wal-mu'mina, the believing man as well as the believing woman. And if the Prophet ﷺ has said the mu'min, it includes all believers, whether male or female. But for some wisdom, he wants to make a distinction and a clear indication here, so that there's no doubt that it is equally applicable to all the believers, whether male or female, that afflictions and hardships would continue to befall the believing man and the believing woman. في نفسه وولده وماله, himself as well as his children as well as his wealth or properties would be afflicted by some loss or calamity. حتى يلقى الله تعالى وما عليه من خطية, until he meets Allah, يعني until he meets Allah on the day of judgment. That's when everyone will stand before Allah, until that believer meets Allah, and they will meet Allah in a condition in which they wouldn't have any sin remaining upon them. Yani, as long as calamities afflict the believing man or the believing woman, then it would be a means so that when they meet Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will be free of sins. And these calamities may afflict us personally, or it may afflict our children, or it may be a loss to our wealth or property. In any case, the loss of lives, whether ourselves or our dear ones or near those who are near to us, or our wealth or property, it is indeed for the one who understands, it is a sign of Allah's love, and it's a mercy, and it's the way or the road to Al-Jannah. A woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as reported in As-Sahihain, in the two books of Sahih, Al-Bukhari and Muslim. A woman came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and she said, "Inni usri'u wa inni atakashshaf, fad'u Allah ta'ala li." She said that I have faintings, yani she falls out, becomes unconscious, and at that time her clothing may come off of her. She may become naked from being unconscious and not knowing what is happening to her in that state. So she said to the Prophet ﷺ, supplicate to Allah for me. And he prayed to Allah to save me from this calamity that has befallen me. The Prophet ﷺ said, in shi'ti sabarti walaki al-jannah. If you will, be patient and you will have paradise. And if you are patient with this affliction and this calamity, if you are just patient with it, then you are guaranteed paradise. وَإِنْ شِئْتِي دَعَوْتُ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُعَافِيَكَ. And if you will, I'll supplicate to Allah to cure you from this, to relieve you of this sickness, to make you healthy and well. If you will, whichever you want. If you want, I will supplicate to Allah for you to cure you. And if you would just be patient, then you'll be guaranteed paradise. So she said, أَصْبِرْ, I'll be patient. And in some of the narrations of the hadith, she said, but just ask Allah to protect me from being coming uncovered. To protect me from being uncovered. As for the sickness, no problem. I'll take it. I will be patient. Asbir. Yani, in shi'ti sabarti walakil jannah. If you will be patient, then you will have paradise. She said, I'll be patient. What about you and I? When we are afflicted with some calamity, we should be reminded of these words. Just be patient. The one who is patient, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Then give the good news of paradise for those of the believers who are patient when they are afflicted with some trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also in this hadith is a note, a side note, not related directly, but it is of importance. It is interesting to note that this woman, radiallahu anha, may Allah be pleased with her, she was willing to submit and accept the test that Allah had subjected her to. But her concern was about being uncovered, that people should see her uncovered. Isn't it interesting that not only amongst the disbelievers, but amongst the believing women, there are many today who don't have any shame to go uncovered with short skirts and open blouses and their head uncovered without even a scarf on their heads. Or some who make the pretense of covering their hair, having half of it covered and half of it out. Here was a woman who was concerned when she was in a state of unconsciousness where she had no control over it. And she was not to blame, but she was concerned that she would be uncovered. While the people today uncover themselves willingly without any concern whatsoever. It also happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as reported in the Sahih of Muslim. Another woman, As-Sa'ib radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to her as reported in the hadith and he said, "Ma laki ya As-Sa'ib tazafzafina." What is wrong with you, O As-Sa'ib? Why you are shivering or shaking in this way? She said, "Al-huma la barakallahu fiha." She said, "It is the huma, the fever. May Allah cause it to be unblessed. La barakallahu fiha." She made dua against the fever that she was being subjected to, against her sickness. Instead of saying barakallahu fiik, la barakallahu fiha. May Allah cause no blessings to be in it. Faqala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tasubbi al-humma fa'innaha tudhibu khataya bani Adam. كَنَا يُذْهِبُ الْكِيرُ خَبَثَ الْحَدِيدِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made her to understand this reality, which we are trying to understand today. But sickness, it is not a sign that Allah is displeased with you or Allah wants to punish you, but actually it is a favor from Allah. It is indeed a blessing from Allah. So he told her, don't speak ill against the fever. لَا تُصَبِّ الْهُمَّ. Don't curse or speak ill against the fever, for verily, the fever itself, it is that which removes the sins of Bani Adam. The sins of people are removed by such a thing, just as the bellows of the blacksmith removes the impurities from iron. Just as the blacksmith removes the impurities from iron by the bellows, by subjecting it to fire, so also the human being is subjected to something that burns him and pains him. It is sickness and affliction, but it is the means of removing one's sins. One of the great scholars, Ibn Abi Dunya, rahimahullah, he said, كَانُوا يَرْجُونَ فِي هُمَّ لَيْلَةٍ كَفَارَةُ مَا مَضَى مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ. That they, the people from the early generations of the Muslims, who understood the reality of sickness, they used to have hope of Allah. They used to hope from Allah that the one who was subjected to fever for one night of fever, they used to hope from Allah and expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it would be an expiation of all their previous sins. They understood this reality and they used to hope for it, knowing that it was the means of removing their sins, which is the way to Al-Jannah. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned for any one of us a station in paradise. And Allah has assigned for every person their place in paradise or their place in the hellfire, according to degrees, levels of highness in paradise and lowness in the hellfire for the disbelievers and the disobedient. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned for any one of us a high place in paradise. And we could not reach that place by our deeds. Yani we didn't do nearly enough to begin to deserve Allah's favor, that we enter that place that He has assigned for us in paradise. So through His wisdom and His mercy and His favor upon us, He subjects us to trials, that it would be a means for us to reach that status or that high position that He has assigned for us in the paradise. So why should there be sadness? Why should there be complaints? Why should the believer feel sad when we are tested with sickness? Indeed, the believer who understands, who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the success of understanding the realities of life, knows that it is indeed a favor from Allah and a way for them to earn His pleasure and to enter the high levels of Al-Jannah. Another point for consideration concerning the view of the believers of sickness is that out of Allah's kindness towards us and His mercy, He never closes the doors that lead to reward or goodness, except that He opens other doors. If one door is closed, He'll open another way for us. The doors to paradise and the ways or the means of earning Allah's reward are many. He never closes a way except that He opens another way for those who are seeking it. So, in addition, above and beyond that which the believer earns of reward due to the sickness or the trials that they have been subjected to and their patience in those trials. And patience is the key, because whoever is afflicted and is not patient, then there is no reward for them, it will be against them. But above and beyond the reward that we receive for being patient in our trials and afflictions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also doesn't hold back from us the reward for the deeds that we used to do when we were sick, if our sickness has prevented us from doing them. If a person used to get up in the night and pray tahajjud, or they used to go to the masjid for the congregational prayers, or they used to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, but due to their sickness, they were unable to pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, He doesn't hold back the reward. For the believer who is prevented from doing good deeds that they normally used to do, but due to their sickness they are unable, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give them the same reward as though they were still doing it, though they are unable to do it due to their sickness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari on the authority of Abu Sa'id or Abu Musa Al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, he said that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أَوْ سَافَرَ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَهُ مِنَ الْأَجْرِ مِثْلَ مَا كَانَ يَعْمَلُ صَحِيحًا مُقِيمًا. That whenever a servant of Allah, one of the slaves of Allah, the believers, whenever they become sick or they travel, and traveling also is a condition that in many cases, due to the inconveniences of traveling, even with modern means of transportation, when a person is traveling, it's not the same as when they are resident at their home. The conditions are difficult. They are different at least. And in many cases, there's some difficulty involved, or some inconveniences at least. So when the slave of Allah is sick or traveling, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records for them the reward for the thing, the deeds that they used to do when they were healthy and when they were resident. Yani if a person used to do good deeds, but due to their sickness they were unable to do it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes for them the rewards for those deeds that they are prevented from doing due to their sickness, or the reward for the deeds that they are unable to do due to their traveling. What more can we ask for, and what more can we expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His mercy? While we are resting from doing those deeds that we normally used to do due to our sickness. We have a rest from our deeds, but the rewards continue to be recorded. This is Allah's favor, and the favors of Allah are many. A believer should keep in mind that when they are healthy and able, they should do as much as they can, because there may come a time when we may be sick and unable. And if we didn't do it when we were healthy, there will be no reward for us when we are sick. Also, of the realities that we know for sure from the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran and the instructions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that it is a necessity that with difficulty there has to also be ease. With any kind of hardship there has to be relief. These go together by the universal law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made for us. As long as a person is sick, no matter how severe it may be, they should know for sure that there will be an end to it. There will be an end to it, one way or another. It's not permanent. The only permanency is permanency in the hellfire, or permanency in the paradise. But in this world, whatever sickness you are subjected to, know for sure, no matter how severe it may be, no matter how long it may go on, know for sure that there is an end to it. It's not permanent. It has to come to an end, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. One of the scholars from the early generations of the Muslims, Wahab ibn Munabbi, rahimahullah, he said that a man would not be a faqih. Yani, a faqih is a scholar of fiqh. But not only the fiqh of jurisprudence, of laws, legal rulings, but also the real faqih is the one who understands the deen of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, من يرد الله خيرا يفقه في الدين. Whoever Allah wants for them khair, He gives them fiqh, understanding of the deen. And that doesn't mean the rulings concerning lawful and unlawful, and business and trading and marriage and divorce. It means understanding the deen of Allah in every way. And the greatest understanding, as we said on many occasions, as Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah said, is the understanding of the aqeedah. The greatest understanding, the greatest fiqh, is the understanding of aqeedah. He said that no one would be a fiqh, a faqih, having complete understanding, proper understanding of the deen, until they consider afflictions and hardships as a ni'mah, a favor from Allah. And they consider ease and facility as a musibah, a calamity for them. Yani a person will not be faqih, kamil al-fiqh, having complete fiqh, until they understand this reality and they count hardships and afflictions as a ni'mah from Allah and ease and facility as a musibah. And that is because, as he said, the one who has been afflicted is guaranteed, he is waiting for, expecting, and knows for sure that ease is coming for him. But the one who is in ease, he is expecting, waiting for, and knowing that hardship is coming for him. Because these two go together. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reminded us of a similar statement, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that verily, with difficulty, مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, with difficulty, there is ease. إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that verily, with the difficulty, there is an ease. Some of the scholars of tafsir said concerning this ayah, that what you can understand after contemplation, it is clear from this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the difficulty with the definite article, al-usr, and he described ease indefinitely, yusr. If you understand Arabic, you know the difference between al-usr and usr. When you have al, it means the definiteness. Inna ma al-usri, with the difficulty is yusra, indefinite. Inna ma al-usri yusra, verily with difficulty is ease. The scholars of tafsir said al-usra, it is one usra, the usra. As for the ease, there are two, yusran marratain, two times. That means that the usra is surrounded by yusra on both sides, and it will never overcome it. Yani the difficulty will never overcome the ease, but on the contrary, the ease will overcome the difficulty. And this is a bushra, a good news for the believers, that whatever difficulty you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised you two facilities, two ease, so that difficulty will be overcome by ease. And also, some of the scholars said that al-usra, being definite with the alif lam, it means that it is all-inclusive and general, and that any kind of difficulty, no matter how great it may be, no matter how severe it may be, it is all included in this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it will be overcome by yusra. This is a great favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَأَنَّ الْفَرَجْ مَعَ الْقَرْبِ وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that with any trial or hardship, there's a relief, a way out. And verily, with difficulty is ease. And in another place, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, سَيَجْعَلُ اللَّهُ بَعْدَ أُسْرٍ يُسْرًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make, after the difficulty, and ease. So that, know for sure, whatever we may suffer from of difficulty or hardship, it is not a permanent condition. It will be followed by ease. It will be accompanied by ease. It will be surrounded and overcome by the ease which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us. Also, of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us, perhaps we'll stop here. Of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised us, and of the realities that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has made us aware of, is the fact that there is a great reward or a favor or a bounty from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sickness. Yani sickness, there is a benefit from the sickness that many people fail to realize. A great benefit that many of the people fail to realize. And it is time. Time. If a sick person reflects upon the benefits of their sickness or their illness and the blessings that they may earn from it, they would not hope for it to end. If they know the reality of how fortunate they are due to their sickness, they would not want it to end. They would want those blessings to continue and the favor of Allah to continue. Along with the expiation of sins, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes our sins due to sickness, and the raising up of our degrees or our status or our position with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the writing of the rewards for the deeds that we used to do, the righteous deeds that we used to do for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we were healthy and well, along with the removal of sins and the raising of our status and the recording of reward for the deeds that we used to do which we are prevented from due to our sickness, there is also another reward or a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in sickness, and it is free time. The person who is sick, usually their condition allows them to have free time that they didn't normally have when they were well. Perhaps your sickness prevents you from doing many of the things that you are responsible for, and therefore you have extra time. How many sick people laying in a hospital bed are bored, and hope that there's something to do, some activity, visit, somebody coming to see them, spend time with them. They're bored because they're just sitting in that bed day and night, 24 hours a day, day after day, wishing for something to do because they don't realize the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that they have been given this time and that it should be taken advantage of. It is indeed a great opportunity for those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed to take advantage of it. It is indeed a great opportunity. Therefore, the sick person should use their time in those things that will help them to get nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is indeed a good time for a person to get near to Allah by reading Quran, by making dhikr and dua, by learning, studying, listening to a tape, listening to the radio. I mean listening to the radio, the beneficial things on the radio, the things that we learn from. I don't mean that other stuff. Allahu musta'an. May Allah save us and protect us from the fitna of the waste of time in things that there is no benefit in. May Allah save us from ourselves, from wasting our time in those things that Allah will not give us any reward for. The least that may happen is that we don't get any reward for engaging in those things that are useless, that are baseless. But worse than that, Allah may punish us. He may punish us for engaging in that which may be haram, or at least it may be makruh, something that's distasteful, that Allah doesn't like. We should ask Allah to save us from wasting our time. We should engage in recitation of Quran, memorization of the Quran. How many of us didn't take time out before to memorize Quran while a person is sitting in a sick bed? It's a chance. They have hours and hours and hours to memorize some of the Quran, to reflect upon the Quran, to seek knowledge, to do extra supererogatory deeds. Even in the hospital, commanding the good and forbidding the wrong and calling to Allah. And sometimes the sick person in the hospital, it might be an opportunity for them, especially in the hospital where they are non-Muslims. The sick person may be in a bed next to a non-Muslim. The sick person can't get away, and the Muslim can't get away from that person, and the person can't get away from you. It's a good chance. It's a chance to give da'wah, to talk to that person about Allah, to talk to them about Islam, or to remind even the Muslims who are engaging in that which is displeasing to Allah, to command them with good, to remind them to pray, to remind them to read Quran, and to forbid them from wrong, whatever they are doing that's displeasing to Allah. This is a good opportunity that the believer has even in their sickness, the extra time that they have, that they can use it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should be reminded that the believer, the Muslim, is commanded to follow the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to fulfill those obligations which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on us, whether we are healthy or whether we are sick. In every condition, the believer is required to fulfill the obligations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And perhaps, maybe in the next lecture, we may talk about some of the regulations or the rules or guidelines. If we complete these points that are remaining, perhaps we will also talk about some of the rules or guidelines related to the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has established in the Sharia, in the Quran and in the Sunnah, related to the sick person and the obligations upon them, the means and the manners of at-tahara and as-salat and siyam. The Muslim, even when they are sick, they are expected to pray. You are not excused from salat, from ibadah, but a Muslim worships Allah until death overcomes them. Inshallah, we'll stop here at this point, and perhaps, yani, if time allows, next week, inshallah, there are just a couple of points remaining. The bounties or the favors of Allah that most of the people missed out on. And also the fact, the reality, that for every sickness there is a cure. And also the warning to avoid the tricks or the traps of shaitan while a person is suffering from the calamity or affliction of sickness. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any comments or questions or corrections, inshallah, we have a few moments remaining. Now. How do we know if we are being patient? What are the signs that a person is patient? The general sign that a person is patient is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the Quran when He says that we will definitely test you with fear and hunger and loss of lives and wealth and fruits of our labor. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But give good news to the sabirin, the patient. How do we know if we are of the patient? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the following ayah, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. The one who is patient is the person who has the attitude, when they are subjected to any calamity, they have the attitude that it is Allah's decree, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing happens in this world except that Allah allows it, except that Allah decreed it, and if Allah decreed it, it's for wisdom. We submit to it and we accept it and we are pleased with it. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. The believer, when a calamity afflicts them, the first thing that should come from the mouth of the believer is Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That verily we belong to Allah and to Him we shall return. Yani the attitude that the believer has at the point of calamity is that Subhanallah, I belong to Allah. He can do with me as He please. And I know I am going to return to Him. So I should be patient. So that when I return to Allah, I will have His reward. The Prophet ﷺ said that amazing is the affair of the believer. The whole of his affair is good for him. And this is not so except for the believer. إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. If any good comes to him, he is thankful. This is a sign of the believer. That when good comes to him, he is thankful. And gratitude is expressed by the believer in fulfilling the commands of Allah. Our gratitude is expressed by obeying what He has ordered us to do and refraining from what He has prohibited us from. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّاءُ صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرٌ لَهُ. But if hardship or difficulty or calamity befalls him, then he is patient. And this will be good for him. So the sign of the believer is that the sign that the believer is patient is that he or she recognizes at the time of calamity, he recognizes or she recognizes that this is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that recognition is in words, and we should say it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When any affliction befalls us or loss of whatever, then we should say Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We should say this. We should make this acknowledgement in words, and more importantly, we should have the attitude in our hearts and in our minds that we belong to Allah, and whatever He does with us, He has the right to do so, and we accept it, we submit to it, and we are pleased with it. The one who accepts what Allah has decreed for him, of loss of life or property or whatever, and is pleased with Allah's decree and accepts it and is patient with it, then that is a sign that Allah has in fact given that person the success, the tawfiq. The sign of patience is the attitude that the believer has and the acknowledgement of the reality that Allah has the right to do with us as He pleases. The believer shouldn't complain, shouldn't keep complaining, "Oh, why am I sick? Why did this happen to me? Oh, it's so terrible, look at me." This is a bad attitude for the believer. This is a bad attitude for the believer. And when we visit the sick, we should remind them, be patient, don't complain. Don't complain. There's a report from Al-Imam Ahmed rahimahullah that when he was very sick and in pain and suffering, and he made some noise, yani moaning, and some people came to him, and he realized that they heard him. He refrained even from moaning for fear that it may be a sign of his displeasure with what Allah had decreed for him. This is the attitude of the patient believer. That the believer should always fear any sign that they might express displeasure with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for them. And of course this patience, it is success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should ask Allah to make us to be patient. We should ask for it. We should supplicate to Allah to make us to be patient. Because patience, it is a favor from Allah and it is only given to those whom Allah wills. Any other question or comment? Okay. Now, tafadhal. How can we motivate ourselves to the ways to motivate ourselves are many. Of the most important ways, and this is the whole topic in and of itself, how to motivate ourselves, but of the most important ways is to reflect upon the reward of Allah. First, the Jannah, the paradise and all that Allah has prepared in it for the people of paradise. This is a great motivation. And isn't a person motivated in this world when the supervisor or the owner says, if you do such and such and so, if you sell so much, or if you produce so much, or if you are able to make our business go, then I will give you a bonus, I will give you a raise, I will give you a whatever. Isn't that a motivation? Doesn't the person work harder? Because he's going to get more money. He's going to get some extra favors or tickets to go home or whatever. What about the reward of Allah that He has promised, paradise? What could be more motivating than to open the Quran or to read the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ about the reward of Allah for those who obey Him? This is the greatest motivation. And also of the motivations for a believer to do good is to think about the hellfire, so that you may be conscious of and aware of the punishment of Allah. The punishment of Allah is great. It is severe. And a believer who reflects upon the descriptions in the Quran and the descriptions in the authentic sunnah, it is sufficient to hold a person from doing wrong. And the rewards of paradise is sufficient to encourage a believer to do good. And this is in general. Otherwise, the motivations for the believer are many, and we discussed them in the series of lectures concerning the means and the ways of paradise and the ways of forgiveness of sins and so many other things. Any other comments or questions from the brothers? Okay. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.